From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, February 28th, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
During the economic upheaval of the pandemic, reliance on Maine's general assistance program skyrocketed, pushing state spending on the program to record highs. Now, with the state facing a projected $450 million budget gap, Governor Janet Mills is trying to scale GA back, but some municipalities and social service agencies warn proposed limits on housing assistance could push more people into homelessness. Last fall, Maria and her young daughter fell on hard times. She says she got laid off suddenly from her job. Then she says her daughter's father, who'd been helping her cover rent, died. She says she tried to cobble together support from a number of state programs, but it wasn't enough.
So general assistance was kind of like my last resort, my last option.
Maria asked to be identified only by her first name due to past experiences with harassment. Getting help with rent through GA, she says, was a crucial backstop.
I was able to at least have a stable roof over my daughter's head, because that's the biggest thing here. I didn't want to end up homeless.
This is what GA was intended for, a program of last resort to help cover the cost of basic needs such as housing and utilities for a limited period of time. Municipalities cover 30% of the program's cost, while the state picks up 70%. But the Mills administration says the program is straining under increased demand and runaway housing prices. The cost of the program nearly tripled between 2019 and 2023 to $43 million, requiring several one-time funding infusions. In her biennial budget, Mills proposes scaling back the program to about $13 million annually, in part by capping GA non-emergency housing support at 3 months in any 12-month period. She told legislators the decision was not arrived at lightly.
Despite having stood up shelters and provided other subsidies, tax credits, and loan programs for housing, I don't relish the idea of scaling back the general assistance payments that go to housing.
The 3 month cap would not apply to emergency temporary shelter, and there are exceptions for people with severe mental and physical conditions. But some municipal officials, including Ryan Gourneau with the City of Portland's Social Service Department, are concerned.
We would fully expect that increase in homelessness, and then the unintended consequences of a strain on the shelter system.
Gourneau says last year, some 600 households in the city received GA housing assistance for longer than 3 months, meaning they could have been cut off under the proposed limit. The Maine Mayor's Coalition, which represents Auburn, Sanford, Waterville, and other cities, says capping state reimbursement could leave local governments on the hook for any additional support. Maine House Republicans have pointed to Portland as the cause of ballooning GA costs. House Minority Leader Billy Bob Falkingham posted a video on social media shot on the steps of Portland City Hall.
General assistance is a good program when it's used correctly. But here in Portland, they spend 50 times more per person on general assistance than the rest of the state.
But Portland Mayor Mark Dion told a legislative committee recently that the city plays an outsized role in supporting the state's homeless population.
They come because there's nothing in their home communities. It's not really a secret.
Dion says the city has leaned on GA to help get people off the streets and into stable housing, but he says it takes many people more than 3 months to get on their feet to a point where they can start supporting themselves.
We are getting people to that place. You can't do it in 60 or 90 days. That's just the hard truth.
Another group that would be particularly affected by the three-month cap are asylum seekers, says Claude Regange with the nonprofit Prosperity Maine. That's because asylum seekers are ineligible for most federal aid programs and required by law to wait at least 6 months before gaining work authorization.
Whose landlord is going to sign a contract when they know that they only have funding for 3 months?
Regange says asylum seekers are playing an important role in filling Maine's worker shortage, and that helping them get on their feet should be viewed as a labor force investment. Meanwhile, Maria, the single mother in Scarborough who turned to GA last year, is not waiting around to see what happens with the governor's budget proposal. She says she's busy applying for jobs, in the hopes that next month she won't need to make that appointment with the General Assistance Office. Maine lobster landings last year hit a 15-year low at about 86 million pounds. That's a 10 million pound decline from the previous year. Sprucehead fisherman Bob Baines says landings are leveling off after a few years of record harvests, and he says lobster prices went up as the supply dipped.
The price, certainly this year, was better. It helped make up for it, but it's still so challenging because the cost of bait, the cost of boats, gear, it's such an expensive fishery that it's really challenging to be profitable.
The average price per pound paid to lobstermen jumped to $6.14 last year, the second highest annual average boat price ever recorded. Average lobster prices were nearly $1.20 higher compared to last year. That drove up the value of the Maine lobster harvest to $528 million. The waters of the Gulf of Maine warmed last year, but more slowly than in recent years. Janet Duffy Anderson, Chief Scientific Officer at the Gulf of Maine Research Institute, says the slower pace of warming is due to an Arctic current that made deep ocean temperatures cooler than usual last spring.
So in the spring, we had cooler bottom temperatures than we have had in the past 10 or 15 years, which was really encouraging to see. Unfortunately, that cooling didn't last.
Duffy Anderson says she doesn't know if the cooling pattern will occur again this year. Warming in the Gulf of Maine is expected to lead to more severe storms, like the ones that battered the state last winter. Some small-scale Maine farmers are warning of price increases, job losses, and harm to the food system as a whole if federal grant funding isn't restored. The Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association says farmers are waiting for at least $1 million in reimbursements from the U.S. Department of Agriculture for contracts approved by Congress during the Biden administration. At a Portland news conference today, Alyssa Adkins says she quit her full-time job to scale up Farthest Field Farm in Freeport, a goal she fears is now in jeopardy.
Maine's food security depends on small farms, and without historically available support in getting off the ground, the number of farms here and across the country will inevitably shrink over time. I ask Maine's delegation to stand up for farmers and for Mainers and do whatever they can to stop the impoundment and cuts to USDA grants and the mass firing of USDA staff.
Carl Johansson with Goranson Farm in Dresden said withholding federal funding could lead to job cuts in rural communities across the state.
As one of the largest employers in Dresden, the impacts to our business will have ripple effects throughout our community.
More than two dozen USDA staff in Maine have been laid off or took the Trump administration's buyout offer, according to a former USDA staffer who spoke at today's event. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition with Carol Bousquet. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.